Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey, it's Sprague here. Really appreciate you listening. You're about to get some podcast excellence. It's presented by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
Ray's Creek, Amen Corner, the Hogan Bridge, Swag's Desk. Traditions unlike any other, I guess.
I'm going to be the head greenskeeper. Hopefully within 6 years, that's my schedule.
This is a Masters Week edition of Dirt and Spray.
Brought to you by Langdon Farms Golf Club, the best course in the Northwest for year-round golf. Book your tee time at langdonfarms.com.
Masters Week with Dirt and Spray on 1080.
Gunga.
The Fan.
Hey, let's do this. Final hour, Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. Old Darkins is in here yelling about all sorts of nonsense.
Boy, he is, he's fired up about hating Norman Powell.
Yeah, I that shouldn't be the focal point of the anger, I would say, after last night. He was really the only bright spot, if you will. And I will say, if you're the eternal optimist, you would say it's nice to have somebody that can do that when Dame's getting double-teamed and trapped the entire game. Like, that's what you need. When you're going to have Beverly pick up Dame the entire length of the court and you're going to trap him every time, you got to have another guy that can say, okay, you're not going to pay any attention to me. I'm going to go score 32 points.
Well,
so that was a glass half full take from last night, but none of it matters because you lost the game and you can't get a stop to save your life. I do think, look, you know, we had some texts coming in. I asked for them just how we're feeling. Somebody said the Blazers are almost unwatchable.
I mean, they're somehow a playoff purgatory team.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They're not even like a borderline playoff team where it's like, should you make the playoffs? Should you tank it? That conversation is always a valid one, in my opinion, if you're like in that 9-10 range.
Right. Do you want to push for it to get swept in the first round?
Especially at this point of Dame's career, because what are you going to get? Another first round exit sweep by Utah or Phoenix or whoever. It's weird because you are sitting, you're pretty, you know, you're firmly in the sixth seed today. And yet there's realistic, who has hope? Who has hope that they're winning their first round matchup?
They've given you no reason to have hope. And that's the only thing I would say about last night, too, is that even if they won that game last night, does that change it for you?
I would have had to wait to Utah. I would, and it doesn't change things in the sense of, oh, I don't remember what happened previous. They need multiple prove-its. It's not going to, if they beat Utah,
it's still not going to do it.
We'll talk about, cool. Hey, how great was that? Look at that production. Can you carry this over? That's what it's going to be. It's, can you continue it? It's not going to be, well, they proved they can hang. No. Your sample size is too far the other way. One win is not going to erase that.
Right.
The one thing I wonder, and you pushed back on this during the break, I'm not telling you he's a godsend to save you and get you to the West Finals, but we're about a week and a half in? I'd have to go back to the calendar because I'm blanking
here. To the trade deadline?
Yeah,
something like that. I think Powell's played 6 or 7 games, somewhere in that range.
I don't think there's refuting that Powell is a better player than Gary Trent.
No, there is not.
But impact-wise, it's at least clear to me seeing what he's doing in Denver to know today I still would have rather had Aaron Gordon. And I think Aaron Gordon, he may not put you over the top by any stretch.
Sure.
But I just think having a 6'8 guy, a 6'7 guy who's athletic and switchable is more valuable to what this team needs than 6'3 get my own shot guy along with other 6'2, 6'1, 6'3 guy.
I don't disagree with you at all. That's the better fit, and I would have preferred to have added him at the trade deadline. The fear that I have, and I remember bringing this up at the time because I felt like some were trying to argue that bringing him in would be the fix to the defense that you've needed, And I can't believe that, man. You are a historically bad defense. You're one of the worst defenses in like the history of the NBA.
Wow.
And I went through, like, that's not even kidding. You are that bad this year.
You're not good.
We went through this all off season where we said, what do the Blazers need? What's going to make you better defensively? You need guys who are 6'8", 6'9", got length, can guard multiple positions. They get in passing lanes, good defensive metrics, good defensive ratings. And what did Neil O'Shea do? He went out and got two of them who are decent defenders. Derek Jones Jr. is one of the best defenders at the three-point line in the entire NBA. Covington, I think, is on pace again to have one of those years where he averages a three, a block, and a steal every game. He's like one of the few players in the NBA that's ever done that. And I'm not saying those guys are Scottie Pippen or Rudy Gobert, but they were pluses to the defensive side of the ball, and they have meant nothing.
The only pushback on what you said that I'll give you is the Derek Jones Jr. one was one that I admittedly like. And I liked when it happened. A lot of people were upset because he's a 30% three-point shooter. If he was, the defensive thing to me was more about he is a switchable athletic
guy. Yes, you would add another one of those guys.
One, and this isn't a knock on him, he's so skinny, though, that every single game he gets touched once or twice and he's limping. And I'm always like, oh, God, is that a real?
Yeah, he took a shot to the head last night on a Zubac screen or something like that.
And he missed a game because of a recent hit that he suffered against Milwaukee.
Yeah.
I liked what it could be because he's 23. I'm pushing back on the defensive value part. He could offer something, and I think he has offered something. But if he was such a prominent, well-thought-of defender, he wouldn't have fell out of the rotation in Miami. He didn't play in the finals. So that needs to be done. Rocco is a one-on-one defender, not as great as he is kind of in the lanes and reading and helping. There are elements to Rocco's defensive game that have holes in them. That being said, your point is not invalid that though they were signed to plug and help. What I think we're seeing, Nurk's not healthy and not playing, so that sucks. Cantor's not great defensively. And you have a backcourt of 6'3 and under.
They can't keep anybody in front of them.
Dame has gotten better defensively over the years. That has been well said and documented, but it's a limit. There's a limit to it. And I'm okay with having a limit because he means so much to them offensively. The other guy doesn't get stops. So you're how good could you possibly be if your backcourt is one of the worst defensively?
And that's my larger point is that I don't know how much Gordon helps you there. And that's where I looked at the Powell trade and said, hey, you can't stop anybody. You're bad defensively. Gordon maybe makes you slightly better, but is he going to make you a top 12, top 15 defense? I don't see that happening. So let's go get somebody that can get you 30 a game.
Sure.
And just let's go the we're not the Nets, but let's try and be the Nets, right? Like that was my view of that trade. I will say, though, and I don't know how you guys feel about this. I remember bringing this up on trade deadline day. I do my line at the end of the tunnel, and we're getting, you know, somebody pushed back and texted in, you guys are putting in too much stock to a regular season. The playoffs are a different animal. I know you get paid to overreact, but calm down.
I get paid to react, not overreact. Right. That's a stupid thought.
And they get their ass kicked every time they play a good team. They won one game against the team ahead of them in the standings, and that's not what Portland has been over the last handful of years. Even in years where they've been good or bad or disappointed, they win games like this, and they'll lose some games that they don't. It's usually a pretty even balance throughout the course of the year. But when you just every time we watch this movie, it ends up being the same result.
So they play the Clippers in round one tomorrow.
Right.
I'm overreacting by saying they've gotten their ass kicked two times by them, that they don't have the better roster. And you think they're going to win that matchup?
Sure. And by no means does losing these games mean that you can't win them in the playoffs. Nobody's arguing that. Hell, I didn't think they would go to the conference finals 2 years ago. We're just saying there's nothing that you would point to leave you confident that they would get that done, because they haven't been able to do it in the regular season. My light at the end of the tunnel, though, and I could just be out on an island by myself on this. You know, the Stotts crowd's never going to go away. That will get answered at the end of the season. We know that. If they don't play well in the playoffs, they get bounced, he's gone. They're going to make a change of head coach. We've known that all season. I do feel like, though, there is building momentum, and maybe this is just me thinking positive thoughts about what I want to see happen, that if you have a bad showing and this kind of stuff continues, you lose big on Thursday to the Jazz, you continue to stockpile wins against bad teams, but you have a unceremonious loss in the first round or you get swept in the second round of the playoffs, that's your season. I don't know. I continue to be hopeful that will be the evidence that they need to say a real shakeup is necessary. Does it make you better? Nobody knows. I don't know what you can get on the market for CJ or what his value is, but I continue to be hopeful that will happen. And that is my light at the end of the tunnel, is I'm just... I'm praying that we get answers and a solution at the end of the season.
They are the only team in the top eight of the West without a plus positive point differential. Yep. The only team. Memphis is eighth and they're a plus one. They're sitting pretty at a zero even as the sixth seed. To me, yeah, again, it might have been a bit harsh to say stupid. I really don't think this is overreaction. I'm not telling you they're getting swept in round one. I don't know what round one holds. I'm just also telling you, you need four, five things to break your way to have a repeat of ending up in the Western Conference Finals. So it's a balance between we're 5 weeks from the season ending and going, I wonder what's going to happen at the end of the year, to don't overreact. They could still make a West Final. That's the balance and back and forth that the fan base is currently dealing with this team, which I think kind of sums it all up. And look, they got Utah tomorrow. It's another test. You potentially could fall to 1-8 against the teams that are above you in the Western Conference. I don't know how that leaves you encouraged whatsoever come postseason time. Maybe you think Phoenix doesn't have the experience. You could beat Phoenix if you're the seventh seed.
Sure.
Well, win the play-in game first and then see what you do. Okay.
Right.
Utah, maybe you don't buy Utah as a one seed. But then in that point, you're talking about 7-8 seed. If you're in the 6 or the 4-5 and you're getting the Clippers, the Lakers, or the Nuggets, you're feeling good about those matchups? I'm assuming Braun and AD are coming back come postseason.
Yeah, if they're hurt, then that's a different scenario, but you got to assume health.
I don't know what changes for you in the playoffs from the regular season against the Clippers, unless you just think Paul George is going to throw up all over himself in round one. And I don't think you have a better roster than the Nuggets. And Jokic owns that matchup. So I just think the matchups are really difficult for you, and you're not giving us any good sample sizes of how you stack up against these games matter. We can't keep acting like they don't matter at all. They matter, and they're not winning them.
Yeah, and the team put importance on them too. That's the tough part. Is you go listen to the quotes from CJ and Dame and what they had to say about the stretch against Milwaukee, LA, and Utah, and every single one of them said this is an important stretch. It's a barometer check to see where we're at. And when you say it's important, and then you go out and you give up 47 points in the first quarter, that's going to cause some fans to be angry. And you know, last note on this, you brought it up at the end of the last segment, and I forgot to in this segment again. The stuff on Nurkic is not encouraging. We'll see. Hopefully it's much ado about nothing.
Fingers crossed on Nurkic.
We want to see him back. And to your point about not having any bench production when Melo's not hitting, you should be having a guy that averages almost 15 and 15 come off the bench, but you can't because he's in your starting lineup. You can't have Cantor coming off the bench because he's had to fill in for Nurkic all year. The quote from Stotts was, there is no timeline, but as of now, it's not serious. So
the as of now thing is that
make of that what
that's
you
the sticking point.
If it's not serious, then as why isn't there now a timeline? And as of now, it's not serious. So can it get more serious?
They're like only going to give us so much information.
I know. So he didn't play last night. He's not going to play tomorrow. So there you go. The Blazers, we got a poll question up on them at Dirt and Sprague at 1080 The Fan. Go vote. I'm just curious where you're at. I think the options were I'm feeling fine. And one listener texting in, clearly you're feeling fine. A little worried, very worried, or blow it up, because I had a lot of those texts from buddies last night after that first quarter.
What is the expectation, too? Is everybody with the same expectation they had preseason of this team?
I have, yeah. You need to make noise in the playoffs.
But what is that realistically?
To me, that's having a threat to make the conference finals. That's making noise in the playoffs.
So going 6-7 in round two, if not winning that
not
series.
Not winning a series and then getting swept. It's got to be, do you lose in a game 7 close back and forth or a game 6? You were close to getting to that threshold. I'm fine with that. Anything less than that at this point in Dame's career is a disappointment.
The balancing act two of the organization. If it's 4 and you're out in 2 or you're out in 1, huge shakeup coming. You'd imagine. If it's a close 6-7 and 2, there is that age-old Neil of, hey, Zach's going to be healthier. Nurk is coming back. Let's keep the band together.
Yeah, frustrating night for Blazer fans. Hopefully they can prove us wrong tomorrow and find a way to beat Utah. Utah lost their first two games at home this season. They have continued to win 22 in a row. Okay, let's get to your favorite segment, Stat or Story next on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Crunch the numbers.
There's 6,127 students at Adams, 58% of which are girls. So that's 7,107.32 boobs.
Break the news.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story.
Is it a stat or a story?
Evidence based on olfactory prowess is inadmissible, in case you didn't know.
This is Stat or Story, a monumental judgment call with Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
Come on, do math.
The Fan.
Well, what do you say, friends? You want to talk some Masters coming up bottom of the hour?
Yeah, I do. You know, one more thing, too. Again, how many years, how many games does Damian Lillard get two thrown at him and they don't do anything?
Yeah.
That's a problem.
Yeah, that's the issue. At least Norman Powell had a good game, though, right?
Why do you keep falling back on that?
Norman Powell played great, man. I'm just saying. Norman Powell had a great night. All right, what do we got today, Swigard?
We're going to talk some Masters now with Stat or Story.
Okay.
A little theme here. Your first number is 1,200. Is it the odds to win the Masters for the longest shots in this year's field? Former champions Ian Woosnam, Sandy Lyle, Larry Mize, and Mike Weir.
I've never heard of any of those names.
They all won green jackets.
What's the first guy's name?
Ian Woosnam.
1,200, you said?
Yeah, so 1,200 to 1.
Okay.
What year did he win? Could you just tell me that real quick?
Sometime in the 80s.
You get invited back, man.
Master, yeah, you can, yeah.
You get a lifetime deal, right?
If you win the Masters, you're a lifetime. At some point, if you just can't get around it, they have a quiet conversation with you.
Put you at the pastor.
Or is it the amount in dollars of the first annual scholarship being awarded in cannabis chemistry by Lake Superior State in Michigan?
Well, cannabis chemistry, huh?
Well, golf odds are actually weird. I'm going to say this is a story.
It has to be longer odds than that.
They've got to be at like plus 3,000.
I would say plus 50,000 for somebody that's been.
No. This is in American odds. So 1,200 to 1, which would be plus 120,000.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. Sorry. Okay. That's a different way to look at it then.
I'm still going to go, wow, I've never heard of these guys. So if those odds get that.
That changes it for me. And how far is a $1,200 scholarship going?
That's
paying for like a book.
I
imagine it's got to be a little bit more than that. I'm going to go stat.
I'm going to go story still.
It's a story. Ian Woosnam, Sandy Lyle, Larry Mize, and Mike Weir. Larry Mize had one of the most famous chip shots. He chipped in on 10 to win in a playoff.
Ooh.
I think that was 87.
Is the playoff for the Masters one hole? Not a full round, right?
It's sudden death, but I think they used to go back and play like 10.
I can't remember. There hasn't been a playoff for the Masters in a long time.
Not
for
a
while.
I'd love to see a playoff in the Masters. That would be fun.
But yes, Ian Woosnam is from Wales. Sandy Lyle from Scotland. Larry Mize, American. And Mike Weir, the first Canadian to win it.
Mike Weir.
That was in the 90s.
That was, yeah.
Mike Weir and Sandy Lyle are names I've heard. The Woosnowski?
Woosnam.
No.
Stretch of random lefties that won the Masters.
This is from CNN. Students at Lake Superior. Oh, they're off at 1,000 to 1. That's the longest odds.
Okay.
Students at Lake Superior State University have been able to study and get a degree in cannabis chemistry since 2019. But now Steadfast Labs, which is a cannabis testing facility in Michigan, funding an annual $1,200 a year scholarship for students pursuing the degree in chemistry. You must be at least a sophomore. You must be carrying at least a 3.0 GPA. Preference will be given to students living in the Detroit area where the company services areas are located.
It's progress, at least.
Want to go back to school?
Can learn about cannabis?
Yeah.
We got it for brewers, right? There's all sorts of brew.
Oregon State's got a brew major.
There's some courses in, I don't know if it's winemaking or the wine industry at Linfield in McMinnville.
That'd be sweet. I'd go do that.
It's
That'd
an underrated fun. Field, too, because maybe the school is a little harder because some of the science courses or whatnot. But you get out of that and you realize your life is similar to what we're doing. You're like, I work in craft beer, or I work in wine or cannabis.
Yeah, go learn how to grow weed, man. I'm all for it.
All right. Your next number is three.
Three.
Is it the number of players who have won more than three green jackets in his career?
The number of players who have won more than three green jackets.
Or is it the number of weeks Lieutenant Commander Simon Reeves had been skippering the HMS Chittingford before resigning his commission after hitting another ship twice, trying to dock it in the dark for the first time?
So, more than three.
So there's... Okay, can you rephrase that?
Is it the number of players who have won more than three green jackets in his career?
Okay, that are playing this weekend.
No, in his
career. Total. Okay. Jack. Tiger.
Yeah, Tiger's got four, I think, now after winning in 19.
It's not...
Phil's got a couple, but he didn't have four. I don't think Palmer won four.
Well, Palmer's... Oh, well, I guess it doesn't matter if it's live.
Yeah, you're going all-timers here. You go back historically to, like, a Bobby Jones.
Yeah. I'm going to say Stat. Stat.
Final answer, Bob.
I'm going to go Story.
It is a Stat.
Damn it.
Jack has won six. Tiger's won five. Arnold's won four.
Arnold won four. He did.
Yep. Arnie did it.
How about that?
Give him his tea
Arnie.
And his lemonade.
None of those old, like Bobby Jones didn't win when he was like the only
one
playing.
Well, the Masters
back in the day.
Didn't start until the Ford. I mean, they didn't build the course.
It was the Augusta Invitational Tournament initially or whatever.
Well, the course wasn't built until the, when did he build it? I think late 30s or early 40s. Yeah, so they didn't start having the tournament till the 40s. This coming from the Daily Sun, Lieutenant Commander Simon Reeves' first try at docking HMS Chittingford in the dark did not go well. He hit another vessel twice, and less than a week into his commission, he handed it in. I'm out.
I'm done. I'm not doing this anymore.
What if you're the captain of that boat that got stuck in the canal not too long ago?
I'm the captain now.
What are you saying to people?
Is there any punishment that happens there? Like, you ruined the world economy, man.
Yeah, it was pretty bad there.
Stuff came to a screeching halt. Now, did we get into the... I know some people said we were going to have a toilet paper shortage from that. Did that end up happening? I haven't had to buy toilet paper in a while.
I buy the Costco things. We're usually pretty good for a long time.
Somebody had reported, though, that was going to F up all the toilet paper supplies, and we were going to be back into like early quarantine days.
I know we're dealing with a ketchup shortage.
Oh, we got ketchup. We can't have ketchup anymore. Oh,
Americans love ketchup on everything.
That's true. We do. We like our ketchup.
So, yeah, apparently it put a 700-foot hole in the hull and will be out of commission for months having to be repaired.
Are big ships still in the philosophy and mindset of the captain has to go down with the ship? Or are we to the point with technology
That's
where...
That's still a thing. No. You got to go down.
Especially for submarines. If you're a submarine, you're
what
pretty
if it's a
much,
commercial can't vessel, they be, though?
That's what I'm saying, is like a commercial cruise ship, a trading ship.
No,
those
you're
are so
expected
massive.
If you yeah, but you're if you're the last has, one off the boat, you
okay,
put
that's
it that
fine.
Way.
That's what I'm asking.
That's
is,
fine. I'm still getting off the boat.
Yeah, nobody's
Get everybody else off first. That's totally cool with that policy. Yes. But then
you
I'm
are
getting
there,
off the boat.
You're the last one off the boat, and you will make sure every last person is off before
that
you get off.
That Titanic, bro. Remember that the scene in the movie? Just
when he grabs
there.
The,
what are you doing, man? Get out of there.
Yeah, he just stood at the wheel and waited for the thing to overtake him.
Your last number, 91,515. Is it the amount of Jack Nicklaus's check for his final Masters win in 1986?
91,000.
Or is it the number of pennies a Georgia man was given for his final paycheck upon leaving the auto body shop he had been working for?
That's a pretty messed up way to pay somebody. I'm going to say this is a...
I'm having a rough day. I'm trying to think. So 1980, I know, like, prize money used to be non-existent, basically.
It was nice, but Tiger blew it up.
$900 check in pennies.
To win $90,000, like in 1986.
I'm going to say stat, man.
It had to have been more than 90 grand in 1986, didn't it? You won the Masters.
Yeah.
It had to be more than that.
Where was golf?
Now, maybe, I know it wasn't $1 million, obviously. It wasn't, you know, but it had to be. I'm going story. It's got to be more than that.
Mechanics check is about 910.
I don't know.
It was his final. He.
Yeah. I said stat, so let's see where this goes.
It's a story.
Yes.
Wait, was he right? Was his logic correct?
Had to be more.
Yes, 144,000.
Okay, hey, that's a significant amount more. That's 50 grand
yeah,
right
Jack
there.
Jack got 144 grand for winning his sixth jacket in 1986.
What's the winner get this week?
Dustin Johnson got $2 million for winning in November.
Gone up just a hair.
This is from our friends at the Huffington Post. A Georgia man received his final paycheck. Andreas Flotten of Fayetteville, Georgia, found a pile of 91,515 pennies on his driveway in March with a note attached to them that read, F you. According to interviews given by Flotten, it was the work of Miles Walker, owner of AOK Walker Auto Works Body Shop in Peachtree City, Georgia, who had repeatedly denied Flatten his last paycheck, only acquiesced after Flatten contacted the Georgia Department of Labor.
Jeez.
A big old wheelbarrow full of pennies.
That takes a lot of effort.
P.S. Have a nice day.
Yeah. Enjoy your day, all right?
At this point, I just think there's so many...
Are you working that? I mean, $915, is that worth going all the way to the Georgia Department of Labor, or is that just on? He just had a Jones for this guy at some point.
I think he had a Jones for the guy.
Had to have been that.
Do you think when you get fired, you're going to go out saying some pretty ugly things and being an ugly guy, or are you going to just, when we get canceled, take it and say thanks for everything, have a good life?
I'm going to be the latter. You know me.
Because you don't really need to be nice to people anymore. You can.
No, you don't.
There's so many lying reference. I had my nephew hit me up the other day and said, hey, I put you down as my reference at my last job. And I went, I didn't work with you. And he goes, I know. And I bet you this happens everywhere to every level of profession.
Big fan of his, man. Yeah. He's great at what
he does. No, he changed my last name.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, he's like, well, it can't be cahoots together. And I'm like, oh, my God, and dude.
Apparently, just for a little extra something, the pennies were all covered with an oily substance.
Are you kidding me?
So the guy, he had to spend an hour or two a night trying to clean all the pennies before he could.
I mean, at that point, you wonder, is the $900 even worth it?
That's what he said. Yeah, he'd work for an hour or two, and he's like, I've cleaned off about $5 worth of pennies.
Jeez, man.
What happens if you dump oil-covered pennies into that Coinstar machine at a Fred Meyer?
Does it count? Only counts like 48 of them. Yeah. Hey, there was 900 in there.
Won't go so well.
Jeez, there you go. Status story every Wednesday at 8:15. That was a good one, Masters edition. Speaking of the Masters, friends, it begins tomorrow. Should we talk, make our picks, storylines? Let's do it. Great anecdote from Rory as well, visiting Tiger. We'll talk some Masters next.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Hungry.
Well, friends, it begins tomorrow. I'm going to be in like four different Masters pools. I can't wait. I got to hang my flag today. I got my Augusta flag ready. I got to throw it up on the pole. It begins. A lot of storylines to get to. I saw this from Rory yesterday. I thought it was a... Rory, if you don't follow golf, or if you do and you just don't pay that close attention, he has become a great spokesperson for the game. And has really become comfortable just being honest and open with his opinions about whether it be equipment changes. He was against it. They asked him about his swing speed, and he basically said that Bryson got in his head with the way he was playing and how far he was hitting the ball. He's very honest and open about stuff.
God, the practice range sessions from Bryson have blown up on Twitter, man.
I was watching that live on the Golf Channel the other day when Vijay Singh was standing behind him watching him. I was like, what are you doing, bro? Yeah. I say, that's Bryson, man. That's what he does. But Rory told a great story about going to visit Tiger a couple of weeks ago just to check in on him, and he said he went into his family room where his trophy cabinet was, and he has all 15 major trophies up. And he said, man, that's really cool. Where are the other trophies? He asked that to Tiger, and Tiger responded, I don't know. He said, what? And Tiger said, yeah, my mom has some. A few others are in the office. A few are wherever. And Rory said, I was driving home, and I was thinking, that's all he cared about. All he cared about. How easy that must have felt for him to win all the others. That was just always in mind. He talked about these are the 4 weeks that matter. So the weeks that didn't matter, you know, he racked them up pretty fast. But I'm just thinking to myself how easy that must have felt for him. If all he cared about were the 4 weeks a year, the other stuff must have been like practice. That's really cool perspective to have. And so he's trying to follow through on that and saying that's, you know, that's his new perspective. This is the only there are 4 weeks that matter really for golfers throughout the year. This is one of them. And for Rory, we can start with that storyline. This is his seventh chance to become the sixth player to win all four majors. Only five guys have ever done it. He's got three. He needs the Masters to round out the career Grand Slam. This is his seventh crack at it going into Augusta.
I'm not very confident in him right now. I'd seen a story that he had switched swing coaches lately. I'm with you. I do love the honesty. I love that he's willing to talk about himself and everything else. I think it's great when you get athletes that are transparent, but I'm not really leaning the Rory direction. It'd be cool. It'd be a great storyline if he could emerge this week. I think he is good for the game of golf. He gets people to tune in. But I think if you looked at the field right now, he's not the name I would be picking. Look, some people are going to want to go under the radar picks. You know, like I saw one name that I might pick in a pool that I just did with you is like a Patrick Cantlay, who's come really close. He's one of the best in strokes gained on the tour, and he's kind of one of those under-the-radar picks.
Look at you dropping a strokes gained.
Or you could just believe that the guy who won it in November can do the same thing, and he's still an amazing golfer and DJ and looking to repeat, which isn't something you get all that often in this tournament. I'm not buying the Spieth thing.
Okay, you're not buying the Spieth hot factor. He's been playing great. He just won the Valero Open last weekend. Historically great at Augusta.
Yeah. He's also had a meltdown at Augusta.
He has.
I think because he just won, I'm going to go out of the Jordan Spieth thing. I know he has been playing better golf and he's come close, but no cigar. And then he finally won the Texas Open. I'm not going to go the Spieth direction. And Koepka is the interesting one for me, too, because I love to watch him play.
He's got a great scoring average in his career at Augusta.
But nobody thought he'd be able to get back in time from the injury. And he basically tweeted this morning the Michael Jordan, and I took that personally meme. And
Brooks in a major.
Here he is. And I'll always want to watch Bryson. And the way he's swinging the club on the range, I'm sure that's what he does every tournament he's in. But it's been highlighted. I don't know if I've seen a guy try to hit a ball more angrily than what Bryson was doing on the range. Vijay Singh was sitting there just going, wow, your back break at all when you do that?
God, he's such a douche. Did you see the workout video he posted with buddies a couple of weeks back?
Why is that a douche move, by the way, if that helps his swing speed? That's what that range session does for him.
Sure, the range thing, whatever. You do whatever you want on your range sessions. He posted a workout video, though, where he was like, friends were yelling at him and like holding the U.S. Open trophy. Or did he win the U.S. Open or the PGA Championship? It was U.S. Open, right?
Last year? It was the Open.
So the friends were holding the trophy in front of him. It was like a jokey Rocky style workout. Like, do you want this back? And he's like doing leg raises. Like, what? God, what are we doing here? Some fun factoids for you on DJ. Longest active streak currently of rounds under par at Augusta. 11 straight rounds under par for DJ. So he always plays great here. On your doucher note, he has never finished inside the top 20 at Augusta. Remember last year he came in, all the talk was about him because he had won his first major and he was going to take a pro approach shots, you know, tee angles off the box that nobody had ever done at Augusta, and he's going to break the course. He's never finished inside the top 20 in this tournament, despite how good he's been playing. His best finish was in 2016 when he tied for 21st. Spieth, if you like Spieth, you could have got him at 50-1 odds as recently as February 1st. Now he's down to 11-1. He's one of the favorites going into this week because of his history there and, of course, of winning last week. And then John Rahm owns the best career scoring average in Masters history, just a hair over 70 among the more than 400 players to log at least 15 rounds at Augusta. So
he just had a kid, though. What's he going to be like, right?
And maybe it's the relief of being a dad, you know? He's got that pressure off his shoulders. So there you go. There's your storylines. Should we make our picks here or in the final segment of the day?
I think we could do the final segment. I listened to a golf show over the weekend.
I'm so proud of you, man.
Well, it was...
I'm just blushing.
It's the one on the fan.
It's a great show. Yeah. And it's a guy named Jason Swigard.
Yeah.
And Harold Bluestein, who's he's like a miniature person, you know?
Yeah. Well, Swag pulls him out of his pocket.
He does. And he just props him up and lets him talk for
an
hour.
It's like an Indian in the cupboard situation. Yes. Swag picks him up and sets him next to the microphone.
He's about the size of the Geico Gecko.
With, like, not as cool an accent.
Yeah, he doesn't have the cool British accent.
He doesn't have that accent.
Where's Australian? Is he British or Australian?
The Geico lizard? He's Australian. Yeah.
Okay. Is that a dumb question? You said that really confident. It made me feel like it was a dumb question.
Is it Australian?
I don't know.
I thought he was British.
I thought he was British, too.
I thought it was Australian.
All right, let us know on that one. Help us out.
Wouldn't it be more likely he's in Australia than Britain?
Yes,
species-wise,
that's a valid point.
Then you get the irony of a lizard being British.
Yeah, kind of snobby, talking about insurance.
Yeah, I guess there's an element to that.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, should we make our picks in the next segment? I don't know what happened there at the end.
Please.
We just kind of got with luck.
Well, you're the one. You brought up the lizard, and then I started to play the commercials back in my mind. I'm like, is he Australian or is he British?
Okay, let's. What's on tap? There's a lot going on in the sports world today and then also tomorrow.
Nerd and Sprague know what's brewing.
I'm not paid to be bold. I'm paid to be right.
There's a lot of sporting events that you say, oh, I got to go do that.
This is What's on Tap, poured by Pelican Brewing Company, born at the beach on 1080. The Fan.
Hey, What's on Tap, brought to you on The Fan by our good friends at Pelican Brewing Company, born at the beach, online at pelicanbrewing.com. We're going to have days in the 70s next week, folks. Don't look now. Get your beer now. Plan accordingly.
Cape Crasher, the new paddleback, and it's confirmed. You were wrong. The Geico lizard is British. Is not Australian.
That was Brandon Sprague that said that.
You're right.
Here's your pairings for tomorrow. You want some cool groups to keep an eye on? Are you guys going to get your Paramount Plus on? Is it on ESPN Plus or Paramount Plus in the morning? How's that going to work?
Paramount.
Just go to masters.com and usually they got a feed themselves.
Wait a minute. They've been pushing Paramount Plus is the new CBS.
Yeah. I don't want it.
They're pushing.
Have enough streaming.
Yeah. ESPN will have the first 2 days for certain with whatever they.
Oh, is it one of those not on TV till 3 o'clock?
It'll
Pacific?
Come on.
Oh,
at,
always the Masters.
It'll come
is
on at noon.
Yeah. So for our show,
but if you want to yell at the Masters, controls every Augusta National and the Masters. There's nobody else to yell at than the Masters.
Well,
they control absolutely everything associated with this tournament.
Don't act like the PGA doesn't do this for every other event either. That's a cop-out thing to just blame the Masters here. The PGA Tour bends over and says, do what you want with us. We don't care.
Thank you, sir. May I have another?
I want to ask you guys, we're different. We're in a bubble here, and we have a lot of listeners who are in this bubble with us. The other listeners out there, when do they watch this tournament? Saturday? Sunday only?
Sunday, I think. If you get a good leaderboard going and you're just a run-of-the-mill sports fan, I think you watch on Sunday. Tiger was obviously the nonstop draw, but if you get, you know, if you give me a Bryson DeChambeau and a Justin Thomas and a Jordan Spieth in the mix going into Sunday, I think you rope in the random sports fan.
Mm.
They know those names by at this point. You're probably not going to watch all day every day like I am, but you'll find a way to watch. Here's your here's some groups to keep an eye on tomorrow's 7:18. You got Serge Submergio is playing with Webb Simpson. Dustin Johnson, Lee Westwood going off at 7:30 our time. Xander Schauffele, John Rahm, Rory McIlroy playing together. They go off at 7:42. Phil Mickelson, Tommy Fleetwood, and Scotty Scheffler. Scotty Scheffler's a guy to keep an eye on. He's playing really good golf right now. They're going off at, what would that be? I'm trying to do the math in my head. I believe 8:12. Yeah, my math. No, that would be 10:12. God, I'm bad at math. 1:12 p.m. That would be 10:12.
Yes, that'd be 10:12.
It's Eastern, so they're 3 hours ahead.
You know what? I know that, Bob.
Which means we're 3 hours behind.
Trying to do math on the fly and talk at the same time. It's not easy, okay? Subtracting three. Cantlay, the guy who you brought up, Sanjay M, Matthew Fitzpatrick, 10:24. Adam Scott, the Doucher, and Max Homa playing together at 10:36. And then later in the afternoon, Jordan Spieth, Cameron Smith, and Colin Morikawa going off at 11.
Oh, that is a sexy little threesome right there.
I like
there.
That 11
Cam
o'clock.
Smith finished, what, second in this tournament, didn't
Cam
he?
Cam Smith is playing great golf right now, too. So bring it. Hit me with it. Who is the pick? Who we taking?
I am going to go a little out of the box. I'm going to take the guy that I picked successfully the last major. I'm going to go with Colin Morikawa.
You like Colin Morikawa
like
to do it?
I like the iron play, and I think he'll be able to do it, yeah.
I like Colin Morikawa as well. He's got decent odds, too.
Yes, he does.
He's not one of the overwhelming favorites, if you will. Great iron player that can always win at Augusta. Okay, you're going Colin Morikawa. Swigart, who do you like?
I'm riding the heater that Jordan Spieth is on.
Okay.
What he did on Sunday to close out that victory, he's starting to make all of those 10 to 15 foot putts, whether they're for birdie or to save par.
Yeah, he's got the putter going.
And I only saw one drive where he really hit it sideways in the final round. He was able to save it, but I think he's got enough control of the driver right now. And what he did with his short game, got it all dialed in. I think he's ready to put on another green jacket. Okay. Dark horse, watch out for Corey Connors.
Okay, Corey Connors, I like that. A little dark horse pick right there.
Corey Connors, yeah.
I mean, if you're looking at odds, too, Scottie Scheffler could be considered a dark horse, plus 4,500, right? I'm just looking at the scoreboard app. So you get good odds on a guy like Scottie Scheffler. Paul Casey seems to always play well at Augusta, another name. I hate going this far up the board because I think he has tied for the second best odds, something like that.
Oh, there's a reason their odds are good.
This is very true. I think Justin Thomas is ready for a breakthrough. I can't get the way he played the Sunday at the Players' Championship out of my mind. So I don't know. I think Justin Thomas ready to break through, win a green jacket. I can't wait, man.
What time does it tee off? 6 a.m. our time, or is it 9 o'clock our time?
Oh, it'll tee off at 5 a.m. our time.
Okay, that's what I thought. Yeah. I just wanted to make sure.
Yeah, bright and early. And we have a new starter this year, right?
In the opening. Lee Elder,
this is the year.
Joins the honorary group with Jack and Gary Player, I believe.
They also started a scholarship in his name at the local Augusta College, I believe. So very cool story. There you go. Starts tomorrow, folks. I cannot wait. What's on tap for tonight? Jazz and Suns play 7 o'clock on ESPN.
Jazz will have Portland tomorrow, so it'll be nice to get them on the back-to-back for the listeners that still believe in Portland
hoping
beating teams like Utah.
Triple overtime.
And Utah is a slight favorite in that game. So they're on the road in Phoenix. They're a 1.5-point favorite. So there you go. Good little show. If you miss any of it, it was a good one. Go check it out. Les Rob Tires
Matt
podcast.
Miller was really good today.
He was
so
great on the NFL draft and Danny Meringue on the Blazers. We'll tweet him out at Thurton Sprague and at 1080 The Fan. Colin coming up next. AJ and Dusty, noon to 3. Primetime 3 to 7. Loaded to Wednesday, as always. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 6 a.m. You're listening to 1080 The Fan.